Thank you for joining me again today. It's always good to be with you, and we're looking at this word righteousness in verse 17 of Romans chapter 1. Let me just read Romans chapter 1 and verse 17 as we get cooking today. For in it, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, but the righteous man shall live by faith. You heard the word righteousness and then the root word righteous. And when you get to your copy of the Bible, please highlight this word in the text. Yesterday, I took us back to Matthew's Gospel in chapter 3, and we found the word righteousness on the lips of Jesus Christ our Lord. Jesus met John at the Jordan River and requested that John baptize him in the water. John objects. Listen again to Matthew chapter 3 and verse 14. But John tried to prevent him, saying, I have need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me? John is questioning why Jesus needs baptism, because Jesus is not a sinner and only sinners are baptized. Let me say that again. John is questioning why Jesus needs baptism because Jesus is not a sinner and only sinners are baptized. Notice what Jesus says by way of response to John the Baptist's question and shock. This is Matthew chapter 3 and verse 15. But Jesus answering said to him, "Permit it at this time, for in this way it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness." So first, Jesus says his baptism is for such a time as this. Permit it at this time. And it is to make a point, to teach a lesson. Jesus agrees that he does not need to be baptized. Jesus knows he is not and never will be a sinner. But Jesus wants to teach. Jesus wants, listen to the text, to fulfill all righteousness. What is Christ doing? He's identifying himself with sinners. Jesus is saying, I am going to become like them to make them like me. As the sinner was baptized, so Jesus is baptized, not because Jesus sinned, but because sinners sin. As the sinner requires Christ's righteousness, Jesus fulfills all righteousness, so that he can provide all righteousness to sinners. The first insight we have into righteousness is that we all require Christ's righteousness. Whatever we need to be saved from sin, Christ gives us. And we require Christ's righteousness to be saved from our sin. So this is why Christ identifies with the sinners in Matthew 3. This is why Jesus gets baptized. He wants us to know that he will give us what we need. And he's so emphatic about this that he's even willing to be baptized in the Jordan River. The text continues, then John permitted Jesus. After being baptized, Jesus came up immediately from the water. Jesus was baptized, just like we who believe in him by faith are baptized. Jesus identifies himself with us. Jesus becomes like us to make us like him. He is identifying himself with sinners, even to the point where Jesus gets baptized. So my first insight into righteousness is this. We all require Christ's righteousness. We all need Christ's righteousness. But so that I can build a bridge to my second insight, let me ask this. Why do we all require Christ's righteousness? Why do we all require Christ's righteousness? Do you have that question on your mind now? Let me try it again for the third time. Why do we all require Christ's righteousness? And here's my answer. We all require Christ's righteousness because we are not ourselves righteous. We all require Christ's righteousness because we are not righteous. Think of it this way. When I need something, it means that I do not have it. That's why I need it. On a practical level, if I'm walking everywhere that I need to go and it's taking me a long time and I say, I need a car. The reason I say I need a car is because I do not have a car. When I need something, it means that I do not have it. Well, if I need righteousness, it means that I do not have it. I am not righteous. But again, what is righteousness? Can you define it, Mark? Well, yes, I can. Now, I must admit that I cannot define this important word easily. And the reason I cannot do that is because you and I are not Greeks. At least, most of us are not. If you are Greek, and if you read ancient Greek fluently, then you know that this word in Greek is very closely linked with the English words justify and justification. Righteous and justice go well together. For example, to be justified is to be declared righteous by God, as we will see the further along we go. But do not worry about this now. I'm only pointing this out by way of self-disclosure. I'm saying that it is not easy for me to define the word righteousness. I had to work at this so that I can teach righteousness in such a way that you will understand it. I do not think that most of you have the interest and or the patience for a full Greek language lesson here on God Is this week. Do you? And if you write and say, yes, I do, then I have some teachers I'd like to recommend to you. They work at a place called a seminary. Not a cemetery, but a seminary. S-E-M-I-N-A-R-Y, and there are some very good ones around the country. I will recommend them to you. Anyway, here's what I have settled on as a clear definition for the word righteousness. Righteousness is God making you right with God. I'll repeat that and then I'll explain. Righteousness is God making you right with God. What is the opposite of right? It is wrong. And the reality is that everything is wrong in our relationship with God until God makes us right with God. Once God makes us right with God, then we are righteous. Let me give you a practical example of right and wrong in terms of human relationships. Let's take two friends, Zoe and Emma. There's so much that is right about their friendship that it's hard to find anything that's wrong. And so if you ask Zoe, hey, Zoe, is everything all right between you and Emma? She will answer, yes, absolutely. I love Emma. She's great. And if you pull Emma aside and you ask her, is everything all right between you and Zoe? She will be surprised that you are even asking. Because of course everything's all right. There's absolutely nothing wrong. Well, let's move this way back up to Almighty God. So I'm moving this away from a person-to-person relationship to the nature of the relationship between perfect God and imperfect people. And now if I ask you, is everything all right between you and God? You might say, yeah, sure. But according to the Bible, if I ask God if everything is all right between you and God, he will say, definitely not, unless I, God, make the relationship right. You see, God is the one who decides if the relationship between you and him is right. God is the one who decides if my relationship with him is right. I do not make that assessment. God does. We have to accept God's assessment of the relationship between us and him. God is the one who makes this judgment both now and in the future. And that should stand out to you in my definition based in the scripture of what righteousness is. So let me remind you of how I am defining righteousness. Righteousness is God making you right with God. Only God knows what is right. Only God sets the standard, and then he holds us up to that standard and asks, is this person meeting the standard? And the answer, of course, is no. We are not meeting God's standard. None of us are. It is impossible for a human person to meet the holy standard of the holy and living God. Why? Because we are not perfect, and God's standard is perfection. God has determined what is right and what is wrong, and we have to conform to what he says is right. We have to conform to God's idea of righteousness. As Greek language scholar and German theologian Hermann Cremer put it, righteousness is a state of rightness to the standard of God. Righteousness is a state of rightness to the standard of God. I really like that too. So let's see perfection as God's standard for righteousness in the Bible. And like yesterday, I want to take us back to Matthew's gospel, and this time chapter 5. Listen to what Jesus says to us in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 48. Therefore, you are to be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. What? Did Jesus actually say that? Well, yes. Let me read it again. I'm reading from the Bible, Matthew chapter 5 and verse 48. Therefore, you are to be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. And this statement comes in the middle of Jesus' famous Sermon on the Mount that's given in Matthew chapter 5 through 7. And here, Christ does a masterful job, as only he can do, expounding on God's law. And right there in the middle of this monumental teaching is this convicting expectation that God has for us. You are to be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. That is, you and I are to be in perfect compliance with the law of God. We are to obey him perfectly. Well, now let's be honest with one another and with Jesus, shall we? Neither you nor I are perfect. Surely we can all admit that. But even if you were to argue, well, I am perfect, or as compared to other people, I am more perfect than so-and-so over there. But still, when measured against God's standard, you are not perfect. You are imperfect. You are not meeting the standard of integrity set by God in his word. And neither am I. And neither is anyone who has ever lived. The only one who meets God's perfect standard for righteousness is Jesus Christ. Jesus is always perfectly right with God because Jesus is God. And Jesus in human flesh never sinned. So Jesus is always perfectly right with God. Nobody else is. And that brings us back to what I taught yesterday. My first point about righteousness is that we require Christ's righteousness. Because we are not righteous, we need Christ's righteousness for us. And today I defined that righteousness as this: righteousness is God making you right with God. And tomorrow we will go even deeper. So join me tomorrow, for God is righteous.